Ephesians 5, be imitators of God, therefore, as dearly loved children. Now that's a tall order, isn't it? How can you copy God? You can't, no. Well, he says you should.
Yeah, you can.
What does it mean?
As a father of children, the children tend to copy the father.
Yes.
The same wisdom, so experiences that in the same way for us.
That's very good.
We're supposed to God, we listen. Yeah.
Yeah. Children are brilliant imitators. Mm-hmm. They can learn very quickly to imitate. Yes, well, we're meant to do that. As we become children of the Lord, we start taking on family likenesses. That's the thing. And, well, there are some things you can't be like God. You can't be all-powerful and all-knowing and all of those things, but you can be kind, you can be loving, you can show kindness and grace. Those are qualities that God has that you are to show as well. So you're to become like him in that sense, yeah? Mm-hmm. So you're to be imitators of God because you are dearly loved children. He loves you. That's amazing, isn't it? Fancy that. God loves you. You might find others might have problem loving you, but God does, yeah?
And their job of loving themselves.
Well, that's true, but if you know God loves you, then you better start thinking his way rather than your way. That's the thing, of course. Yeah, thank you. Yeah, and that, as a result of that, you're to live a life of love. Yes, live a life of love. That's great, isn't it? Yeah, that means that love should control your life. And what's the love he's talking about? It's not gooey stuff. No. Emotions are involved, of course.
The word agape
means to give of yourself. It's a sacrificial love. A love that reaches out beyond ourselves. It's not a love that gets. It's more, we receive, of course, but it's a love that tends to want to give and bless as well, yeah? So that's the kind of love, life, that we're meant to live. And it's compared to just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. How did Jesus love us? He had the agape love, you can say, and he illustrates it by saying he gave himself for us, and it was a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. Isn't that interesting that he's using what we would say the language of the sacrifice system? You know, fragrant offerings, you read about it in the Old Testament where it says, this offering was a sweet savour to the Lord, yeah? What Jesus did, Father was pleased with, that's what he's getting at. And it was an offering and a sacrifice. Well, just as that's true of what Jesus did, this is meant to be for you as well. One thing we all need to remember is Jesus isn't just your saviour. Well, I say just, I mean we'd be stuck without him, wouldn't we? Mm. But Jesus isn't just your saviour, he's also your example. How Jesus is and Jesus lived, he wants you to imitate that, to follow him. If you want to know what God's like, look at Jesus. And you're to follow him. And follow him means, well, Jesus says, you know, you can do greater things than he did. How about that for a challenge? Mm.
He's an intercessor, is that?
Yes. All these things.
That's
when he says there, you're doing better things than I, but he's talking to his disciples. Does that mean just the disciples do better things, or all of us?
I think it means all of us. But it doesn't mean that you'll do anything better than Jesus did. The effect is that there'll be more of what Jesus does through people all around the world, isn't it? There's more people being touched and changed and healed and transformed and set free than Jesus ever did while he was here on earth. You got the idea? So we do more of the same kind of what Jesus did. That's what he's wanting us to do, yes? So you're to be like Jesus, gave himself as a fragrant offering, a sacrifice of service. Well, that's to be yours as well.
We have to know there's a lot of people who aren't, just don't see that, do they?
No.
You know, they just don't think that, you know, today we should...
Yeah. I'm saved and that's it.
The other things that the Lord says...
Calls us to be.
Yeah.
Right, so you're to smell good for God. How about that? That's anybody saying, yeah? Yes. Praise the Lord and help us, yeah? Right. And now he comes to deal with some of the things that are very stinky. They're not good smells at all. But among you, there must not even be a hint of sexual immorality or any kind of impurity or of greed, because these are improper for God's holy people. If you're one of God's children, then some things are not meant to be there. And he deals with this whole sexual area, really. The hint of, there shouldn't be even a hint of sexual immorality or any kind of impurity. He's getting at this. And, I mean, in Paul's day, when he's writing this, sin of the sexual kind was everywhere. I think you could say it's pretty much like today. You know, it's everywhere. You know, all over the telly, they're all carrying on with everybody else and all that sort of stuff. It's there in front of you, and it was there in the Ephesian community. Yeah, and he's saying, Christian, things should not be like that for you. Right? There's not even to be any hint of it. Yeah, and that's a really big challenge because, say, our society just thinks it's all normal.
Yeah, it's never drawn the line, isn't it? Sort of thing.
And so we as people are meant to be different. That's what God wants you to be. He wants you to be different. And he says that there should be any kind of impurity. Well, that's including all those wrong ways of thinking, not just the behaviour, of course, or of greed. Now, what does he mean by greed there? I don't think it means just food. He's not talking about it at that instance, but, I mean, that's not good either. But what he's getting at, I think he's applying, the word covetousness, that's what the word is in the original, it's covetous. And that comes from the Ten Commandments.
Never content with what you've
got. Gluttony.
Yes.
Gluttony, isn't it?
Well, gluttony is one of them, but being covetous is more than gluttony. Right. He says, well, let's have a look. It's in Exodus chapter 20, I believe. Shall we have a quick look at that? The Ten Commandments. The rules. Chapter 20. Verse 17. You mustn't covet. That's greed. It's another word for greed, covetous. Yes. Verse 20, or 17 of chapter 20 of Exodus says, you shall not covet your neighbour's house, you shall not covet your neighbour's wife, or his manservant or maidservant, his ox or donkey, or anything that belongs to your neighbour. Yeah. Now Paul's talking in the context of sexual behaviour, and he's saying is you mustn't be greedy or covetous. I think he's talking about coveting your neighbour's wife, amongst other things. You've got the idea there. He's saying is you shouldn't be wanting what's not yours. Yeah. And part of the cure for being covetous is contentment in the Lord. Thank God for what you've got rather than worrying about what you don't have.
Did you say something about if you look at your neighbour's wife, you've already committed.
Jesus is saying that the sins in the mind start first, don't they? Yes,
you've
already committed
that.
But he's that's true. But he's really, I think he's talking about the actual outworkings of this. He's saying is that you're not to behave like that.
No, I'm talking about that.
Right, and I think there's a big issue here for all of us in a way. How do you stop crossing the line from admiring beauty, moving into covetousness and lust?
It's difficult.
It's a difficult one, isn't it?
I can look at a picture of a naked woman, no, painting, say.
Right.
And I think, that's lovely, you know.
Right.
Being a male, I suppose, one appreciates female form.
Yes.
And you look at it and most wonderful painting sort of thing. But yes, there is, you know.
The danger is moving over. Yes, that's
looking sort of thing.
Yeah.
But
so,
the one time paint shop, for instance, I've learned, whatever comes to your mind, it's not sin. Yes. It's what you do with it.
Yes.
So what I take to do is, whatever it is, with the unclean thought, I bring it to the cross.
Kill it. Yeah. That's it. Yeah. Okay, well, I'm raising this because these are really practical things. You know, he says there shouldn't be any hint of this stuff, so we've got to watch our own lives. Now, that's not to say sex is wrong. This is one of the problems which the church, as it split off from the synagogue in the early days, the church got it really bad because it started absorbing these Greek ideas from a guy called Plato. And the idea of the Greeks were that it's the spiritual that's pure and the physical is corrupt and evil and dirty. Right? That's Plato's idea. Spiritual good, earthly bad. The church, that's not the way the Jews think at all. That's not the way the Bible thinks. It says the physical stuff that God made is good. Right? You don't separate up there and down here. It's what God has made. Yes?
But
that's good.
Marriage is good.
Yes, exactly.
In the right place.
In the right place, these things are good. Yeah, and the church has sort of elevated this spiritual, so priests don't marry, Yeah, that was one of the things. Because marriage is, it's an inconvenience, but it's necessary.
I thought that came from the Bible.
Yeah. They've not got it from the Bible.
It hasn't. No, of course they haven't.
It's not coming from the Bible. And the same with Mary. Mary was exalted to somebody who was sinless because
she had a marriage.
Yeah, because you can't have babies and kids outside having Jesus, because that's down there evil stuff, right? You got the idea? And the same again with all these special holy things. All of it's holy. I mean, let me just give you an example. When we give thanks for our food, we're not blessing the food. You don't bless the food because it's God's gift to you. Yeah? You're thanking God for the food. Yeah? And the church came into the idea you have to pronounce blessings over stuff because they're all tainted by this earthly stuff. We have to get them purified. Not true. Yeah, so what, I'm really coming to this, that Paul isn't against marriage. Never against marriage, yeah? He does talk in Corinthians that sometimes it's best not to marry, but in the context he's talking about is, if you're just going to get dragged off in front of the lions, you've got kids and wives to look after, it might be best if you didn't have them. Yeah? That's the context he's doing there, but marriage is God's blessing to mankind. Yeah? What's the first commandment in the Bible? The very first commandment.
Be fruitful and multiply.
It was God's idea, right? Mm. So he's getting at that. So there's the right place. But
you go back to the beginning, and then it's like that Adam and Eve were in the garden.
Yes.
They ate the apple, and then they'd run and cover themselves. So up to then, they were running away
naked.
And not taking notice. But once they took the bite of the apple,
sin enters in, and it changes and confuses and messes up your mind.
And that's all the rules.
All the stuff's coming.
Yes. Part of God's plan. Yeah,
yes. So you got the idea, right? Yeah. So none of this vulgar stuff. And then he goes on to verse 4. We're back to Ephesians chapter 5, verse 4. Nor should there be obscenity, foolish talk, coarse joking, which are out of place. I'll tell you what. You turn on the comedians.
Oh yeah.
I mean, not all are like that, thankfully.
No.
But innuendos, subtlety stuff, and all of that. Yeah. It says there shouldn't be obscenity. That's the plain dirty stuff. Yeah. Foolish talk are the clever clogs who have those what they call double entendre. You know, it sounds all so nice on the surface, but you know they're talking about filthy stuff underneath. Yeah. Well, that's the foolish talk he's saying. Yeah. And coarse joking. Now you know, and I'm not against good jokes.
Well, it says there, which are out of place.
Yes, coarse joking's out of place. You shouldn't be cracking dirty jokes. Yeah. And if people do start cracking dirty jokes, I should get out of their company.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's what he's getting at. Christian, and he's not being negative. We've got better things to think about. Yeah. Better stuff to talk about. So why, I mean, my Jean always says, if a comedian has to sink to below the belt, then they're not much proper as a comedian. Really, you know, that's basically it. Haven't they got any better script writers or whatever? Yeah, so you got the idea. None of that. Rather, what's the alternative? Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving. What do you give thanks for?
Everything.
Yes. If you're practicing thanking the Lord, you won't have time to be cracking stupid jokes. You know? Thank the Lord for what?
For living in this country.
Living in this country?
Oh, yeah. I tell you what, my mum's got a lovely photographs of her garden.
Yes.
And that, and I've just been to come over, and I've got a lovely one of her and Dad on their 60th wedding anniversary.
Yeah.
And one of his children at the top. And we've been putting these all around, all these flowers.
Yes.
And I've just been trying to sort out and cut another photograph up that's not much to put, you know, thank you Lord around it. She said she'd like to do that, or else God of creation. Or something.
So we thank the Lord for his creation.
She's going to have it in her room, and, you know, and she is like that underneath.
Yeah.
And, you know, some people just do not see it,
well, that's sad. I mean, today, I was walking up the road. It was absolutely glorious. So
lovely.
Trees were in glorious colour and everything. We'd thank the Lord for those things.
Yeah.
You'd thank the Lord for little practical things.
Well, I think we didn't so much. I mean, look at God's love in the flowers until we...
Yeah. Well, let me take you to the mundane. I mean, it sounds a bit basic. I'm not being coarse with this. But there are prayers of thanks for being able to work at go to the loo, you know.
Yeah.
That your body functions is a blessing. Yeah. When you find in hospital, you'll find out whether it's a blessing or not. Yeah.
I think in Japan they call it the happy room.
Do they have the room? Right, so you got the idea. Yeah. So all of life is a room for thanksgiving to God about the things, you know. Yeah. So be thankful. Be thanksgiving. For this of this you can be sure. Right. So you lay this down as a rule. No immoral, impure, or greedy person, such man is an idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. He's really saying is they aren't Christians. They may become Christians, I mean, don't write them off. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, once we were in the world.
That's right.
Yeah, so, you know, don't write them off. But he's saying is if that's what they're like, they're not there yet. And they haven't got any inheritance in the kingdom of God as it stands. And he says, no impure or greedy person, that covetous one, such a man is an idolater. Now there you are. How about in the Ten Commandments, it starts with all how you shouldn't misuse God's name, you're to have only God as God, no other gods, and all of those things. That's all about God. And then you get onto the things about mankind. You mustn't swear, you mustn't misuse God's name, you mustn't nip somebody's wife, you mustn't lie and cheat and steal and all that sort of stuff. But he says, it's idolatry to be covetous. Why is it idolatry to be covetous? To want something that you haven't got?
Greed.
It's greed, but why is it idolatry?
Because you're sort of accusing it's of God.
It's worshipping the things. It's putting them in the place of God. If you want that more than what God says, then you put that in place of God. Yeah, and things can take over our lives.
Second commandment.
It is the second commandment, yeah, but this is the last of the commandments as well.
Yeah.
Well, they've wiped that one out, yes, you mustn't make idols and false gods, well.
It's a bit of clothing, you know,
you
think, I do like that, so,
is it wrong to buy it?
Or should I say, oh Lord, I like that, and thank you Lord, so I've said that.
Right, now, what's
seen something, and I thought, well, thank you Lord, show me that.
Or do you need it?
Yes, I know
that's
that.
That's a good thing. But if it's in the shop, it's available for sale.
Yeah.
Yes, that's different from somebody else who's wearing it. You think, I'll have that.
But as I say, I'll thank the Lord.
You can thank the Lord.
Thank you for putting that there, Lord.
And also that you have the wherewithal to get it.
Yeah.
That's possible, yeah. So, I mean, Jesus, I mean, this is a great lesson for us all to learn. Jesus said, your life does not consist in the abundance of your possessions.
Yeah.
It's not what you have that make you happy. Mm. Yeah, it doesn't make you happy, because they keep having to buy more to get more happy, but it don't work, of course.
I know we don't have to worry about that, but as Ron said, doesn't God make us different in a bit of a way? Like, you know, sometimes he makes some people more aware of clothing in their life.
Yes.
I mean, you've got fashion, you know, and... You know, there's nothing wrong if you're very well, if you've got a very special insight for clothes.
For colour and so on, yeah.
Whatever, and would like something. And it's not a terrible...
No.
Before I knew the Lord, I'd done it like Dennis, and that sort of thing, and that's what we thought of.
Yeah.
And there, you say, oh, thank you for putting that there, Lord. I'll not part of a discussion with them. I'll chill up on this, Lord.
It fits in. There are some denominations, let's use that word, where the ladies are all meant to look very dowdy. And you know, not to stand out or look anything like that, right? Yeah, is that Christian?
No, that's man hiding.
It's their custom, I mean, the answer to the Lord. Yeah. If you want to dress dowdy, you do it.
That's almost looking dark.
You read about the bride and so on in the Bible. Well, they were absolute stonkers.
They
rejoiced in the good blessings of God. God gives us all things to enjoy as long as they don't take over and become gods. David had a problem with his missus. Yeah. David danced before the Lord. He was enthusiastic. He thanked God for what he was doing. He was praising God that the ark was coming up to Jerusalem. Yeah. And his missus said, oh, you made a show of yourself, haven't you? You should be more serious and sober. Well, there's nothing wrong with being serious and sober, but I read that there's a lot of joy in the Bible as well. Anyway, I'll tell you, this little section raises a few interesting questions. We're not to be idolaters, setting stuff in front of God. Right, and then, let no one deceive you with empty words, and there'll be plenty who'll try and talk you out of things. For because of such things, God's wrath comes on those who are disobedient. Therefore, do not be partners with them. So he's saying, don't let them deceive you with empty words. Now, he's talking in the area of sexual behaviour there. And let me tell you this, in our society, there are plenty of empty words around, such as, everybody does it.
Mm.
Yes? What's the problem? It's no big deal. They're empty words, dear friends. They're false words. Because they're leading people to do things that God says are wrong.
Mm.
You've got the idea. So, watch out. Yeah, we need to know that it doesn't matter what everybody else does. It's what God wants you to do that matters, isn't it?
Yeah. Being that new creation.
Yes.
And thinking about that, something kept my mind up by this paper. That Donald Trump has now enlisted on his team this lady who is one of your, what do you call these people, an evangelist.
Yeah.
Evangelical person.
Right.
But she's one of these wealthy people, you know?
Oh, health and prosperity.
Yeah,
yes.
She's one of them.
Yes.
And I thought that's a very subtle one. For our society.
Health and prosperity.
Well, because so many people are wanting more. They're not satisfied with what they've got.
Mm.
So they have these scratch cards, you have the, you know, all the different ways of getting rid of money.
Another way of finding happiness, which won't come that way, of course.
Yeah, but yeah, this is what I'm trying to say, that there's Thomas Christians are advocating it.
Yes, right.
And
yes.
Remember Yonggi Cho was that, remember?
Yes.
The Korean chappy.
Yes, yes. Paul Yonggi Cho.
That was quite a popular thing at one day, wasn't it?
Yeah. Well, I mean, there is the problem is with all of these things, there's a half a truth in them.
Mm-hmm.
That God wants to bless you, right? Yeah. But God's blessing doesn't necessarily mean that you've got your own private fleet of cars and jets to go with it.
Mm-hmm.
God's blessing can come in all sorts of ways, and it doesn't mean to say you'll have everything. Not that God's against riches. I mean, Solomon was wealthy. Sorry?
Abraham was rich,
yeah. Yes, so it's not that it's all about riches. It's all the thing I fear for a lot of the evangelists about giving. The thing about giving is they argue if you give this much you'll get so much back.
Yeah.
If you're giving to get, you're not giving properly.
Yeah.
That's the point. We give because we want to serve the Lord, we want to bless others, right? It's not whether God pays me back tomorrow. But I've got news for you. I mean, some of these evangelists will know this. I've just used it as a practical example, yeah? I really felt I ought to give something to a particular work that I was interested in, you know, just the other day.
Yes.
So an online little donation. Wasn't a lot, just thought I should help them and encourage them, right? Well, got the post in the next day, the taxman sent me a payback. Yeah? Right? Now then, I see the connection there, but I'm telling you this, I didn't give in order for the taxman to send me something.
No.
And we never should do that.
No.
Yeah?
Well, I've been exactly the same in the past. When I've stepped out, I thought, I don't know, I have the same amount, coming in.
You can't beat God.
It's ever so odd.
Yeah, you can't beat God.
But
the prosperity side is really, I really feel is they've missed the point in that it's an attempt to try and get rather than a means of giving.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. God will bless you. And He'll bless it in all sorts of ways. And let's make sure we do it that way, yeah?
Yeah.
Alright, so, where did that come from? deceive you with empty words.
Yeah.
Yeah, empty words, yeah. Big promises that won't deliver, yeah?
Yeah.
And God wants you healthy as well.
Yeah, yeah.
But there are strange ways that God works at times. We know that, don't we?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. We do believe that Jesus is able to heal. He can do anything.
The word was good today. Well, that man said that lady had cancer, but he never said she was healed. But he said to have faith. And
keep going. Trust the Lord. Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes. Well, we're in God's hands. That's really what he's getting at. And be grateful about that. Right. Now then, verse, don't be partners with them, right? So we've got to be separate. But how do you not be partners with them and yet still be amongst them? That's the tricky thing for us as believers in this world. How do you live as a Christian in a very pagan society? It was true for the Ephesians, still true for us today. Yeah? Some way or another we need to ask God to help to keep us pure. Someone used it about Jesus. He lived in the fish pond, but he never swallowed any of the water. Yeah, well, we're the same.
Yeah.
Yes, yeah. Right, verse 8 then. What, for you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. What's odd about that sentence? You were once darkness, but now you're light in the Lord.
Well, we lived in this world.
But the interesting, the thing that is odd, is it doesn't say you were once in the darkness. What does it say?
You were
in the dark so much that you made it dark as well.
Yeah.
That's really the point. You're darkness yourself. And that's true of the unbeliever about ourselves before we came to the Lord. You spread the muck around like everybody else. Yeah, we were darkness. But now, what are you? You're not in the light.
You are the light.
You are the light. God's turned you on as a light bulb. You're to shine for Jesus in this world in which you live. This little light of mine?
I'm going to let it shine.
Good, right. Yes. Now live as children of light. That's what we have to be, yes? For the fruit of light consists of, and when it says fruit of light, of course, we know who produces the fruit. He's going to mention this later on. Mm-hmm. Who is it? It's the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
He's the one that produces the light inside us. It consists of all goodness, righteousness, and truth. Yeah. That's God's way. Really positive. Wonderful. Yeah. And verse 10. Here's a good one. We could spend an hour on this one. Find out what pleases the Lord. Yes. There's a challenge for you.
That's a hard one.
That's what I'm asking you. That's going on. Help me. How do I find out what pleases the Lord?
In the book.
By experience.
In the book. By experience. What do you mean in the book?
By what you
said. In the Bible. So, right. Yes. In the Bible. Well, let me just give you a verse. It is funny, but it's the man that wanted some guidance from the Bible. So what he did was, he flicked the pages, put his finger on it, and he says, Judas went out and hanged himself. Oh no, it can't be that. So he found another verse. What you do, do quickly.
The third time, yes.
You've got the idea. You get it from the book, but what does it mean to get how to find what pleases the Lord from the book?
To mature as a believer.
You need discernment.
Yes.
But yes. I think when the Lord enters in and gives you that peace and everything, one thing you know is if you go against the Lord, that
the peace disappears. Excellent, yes. There is that overall, it's the work of the Spirit again, isn't it? He's the sort of still voice, small voice behind you saying, that's the way to go in it, yeah. When your peace, if your peace disappears, chances are you probably stepped in the wrong road. That's one of the things. Experience is one of the things, yes. And also, wise advice from godly people who've run the road before and probably made some of the mistakes that want to stop you making, you know. So how do you find out what pleases the Lord? Oh, well. You trust him for a start. Mm. That's one of the things, and that God will guide you and help you. Yeah. And there's plenty of stuff to go on with. There's a quote from Mark Twain. He says, "It's not the things in the Bible that I don't understand that worry me. It's the things that I do understand." Because he wasn't living the way God wanted him to live. A lot of what God wants us to do is pretty plain, straightforward teaching. Yeah, in the scriptures. Yeah. Like the Ten Commandments, for example. Those are the things that God's guidelines for life, yeah?
Yes.
But when you want particular, what pleases the Lord, do I do this or do I do that? Well, let me ask you, is God concerned about what you had for breakfast?
Yeah, not really.
Do you need to pray about it?
No.
But do you need to thank him for it?
Yeah.
Right, yeah. So that's what pleases the Lord. It's not necessarily the thing itself, but your attitude towards it, yeah?
Crazy.
Yeah.
But I picked God and I was struggling with a little thing. I was just telling that. Somebody said to me, you know, certain aspect of human being, they said, oh, you are human, you know.
You aren't human.
You are human.
Oh, you are human.
Well, it's okay being human, but I didn't think that was the right answer.
No.
Because God knew that in circumstances, I was looking, as we're studying now,
yeah.
I was looking to Jesus in the right way.
To help you.
And that I was having to cope with was disturbing my peace a bit.
Yes.
And I didn't think that comment,
was
I
helpful.
Argued about yeah. it, I've just gone
yes.
and recognised it and yeah. gone on my...
Right. Yeah. We are human, but as Christians, we have God
yeah.
working in us by his Holy Spirit. Therefore, we're not just human in that sense. God enables us to do more than we could ever do on the natural level.
Right.
Yeah, that's right. Okay, so that's a good verse, isn't it? Yeah. So find out what pleases the Lord. Have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them. For it is shameful even to mention what the disobedient do in secret.
That's what I don't understand. It's
it sounds like a contradiction, doesn't it?
Yes.
Have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness, but expose them.
Yeah.
Basically, what I don't think he's saying is you go around saying, that's wrong, that's wrong, that's wrong. That's not exposing them. But the way you live shows that what they're doing is wrong.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You don't have to say anything. All you have to do is be different.
Yeah.
And that exposes the evil.
Yeah.
A little bit of light can show up an awful lot of dark. Yes. So that's how you expose them, right? Without sort of parading stuff around. We're not here to parade things. He says, because the next bit is, it's shameful even to mention what the disobedient do in secret. Sometimes we have to expose things like that. There are places, Paul does it in Corinthians. He talks about some of the stuff that was going on in Corinth, and he's not doing it just for gossip's sake, you know, here's a juicy bit for you to think about.
Yes.
But he's really saying is this is wrong, it needs sorting out, yes. But we don't go around talking about stuff just for the fun of it. That's the thing, yeah.
Could there be an intimate thing between you could go along to a person and expose him to what he's doing wrong and everything and say, you know, there's a better life and all
yes.
that?
There is a place for that. There is a place for that.
Not gossip and all that sort
no.
of thing.
But you need to earn the right to be able to say that sometimes. You know, it's the Lord that gives you the opportunities to be able to say to someone, come alongside them and say, I'm your friend here, I don't think that's what you're doing is right, you know.
Yeah.
But if you go out with the billboard and saying, you know, repent for you're going to hell, it's not likely to have the effect that you want it to have. But anyway, even God could use that, of course.
If they listen to you.
If they listen, yes. Right. It's shameful even to mention what the disobedient do in secret. Mm. And you don't need me to tell you what the sinner can get up to. Human beings are unbelievably creative in the wrong way. About the wrong stuff they can do, the wickedness that man can get up to. But everything exposed by the light becomes visible. Yes. So as we live for the Lord and shine his light, it begins to show up the evil that is going on. And we're meant to do that. For it's light that makes everything visible. Yeah, so as God's people we're to shine for him. And so he quotes this little phrase here. He says, that is why it is said, wake up, O sleep, arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Mm. In my translation, it's written as a little piece of poetry. I don't know if yours has got that. Yes. The reason for that is, it's generally understood that what Paul is doing, he's quoting not just a psalm, but he's quoting a song that the early church had written and was singing.
It's from the Essenes.
Okay. It's one of their choruses.
Yeah.
They're all singing. Do you know, all these believers are always singing. Isn't it amazing, really? Why? Because we thank the Lord, don't we? Yeah.
Is it also from Isaiah?
It's related to that. Yes.
Yeah.
Oh yes, yes. It comes from Isaiah. Yeah. That. Let me put it this way. This is one of the important things about scriptures. Scriptures inspire songs. Yeah, I mean there's lots of songs written from the passages in Revelation and in the Psalms because these are God's words that sort of set your heart alight and you want to re-express it in a song. Yeah.
Well, you're encouraging yourself in that, aren't you?
That's right. Singing together is important for God's people.
It is.
Wake up, O sleeper. Well, you got to wake up. Rise from the dead. Yeah, so... Person, get alive. Get alive with Jesus, yes. Christ will shine on you. Right, so verse 15, very quickly. Be very careful then how you live. Not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. So, watch out how you live, you know. In a sense, you need to be on guard all the time, but you don't need to be on guard all the time if you've got the Lord guarding you. What we're saying is make the most of every opportunity. Well, what does that mean?
Any good opportunities,
make the most of everything, opportunity that comes along, an opportunity to tell someone about Jesus, an opportunity to show some kindness, an opportunity to thank the Lord, use them, you're not here to be stuck in a box, you're here to function for the Lord, in whatever way and capacity God can let you do that, yeah? Right, so make the most of every opportunity, why?
Bless you.
Bless you. Why? Because the days are evil. There are germs about. Yes.
I did not put it.
Yes. Yeah. Joking aside, there are some nasty things around. The days are evil. And if Paul was writing then, I wonder what he'd say today.
Nothing's changed.
Not really, is it? No. Only something has changed. We've got more ability to do more damage. I mean, in the past you had a bow and arrow. You could kill a few people with a bow and arrow. Now you've got a button, you can blow up 10,000 just like that. You know? So, nothing's changed in the heart of man, but our capacity to create mayhem seems to have gone up a bit as well. The days are evil, yes. Which is sad, because we live in a fallen world and there's so much lovely stuff around. Yeah, but there we are. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Yeah, then we're back to that. How do you find out what the Lord's will is? Through his word, through the wise counsel of others, through the Spirit, giving you that sense of peace that you're doing the right thing. And prayer, and listening, so, as you understand what the Lord's will is, then you walk with the Lord, and that's what it's about. And then we stop there, because we're going to look at this one next time. Don't get drunk on wine. Well, we'll stop there.
Drunk in the Spirit.
Drunk in the Spirit, that's
different. I walk with the Lord and the light of his word.
We walk with the Lord. I hope you get this. This isn't about attending church on a Sunday. This is about how you live. And that's what God is all interested in. It's not what you do 1 hour a week or whatever, or how big that is, whatever. It's how you live all the time that God wants to be involved in, which is lovely.
In fact, the days that we're actually living in, which are getting darker, we should be shining even brighter.
Right, yes, yes. The contrast should be great now, Yeah, Lord help us, eh? Let's stop there then, and we'll pray, eh? Lord, we've touched on some very practical things in our living as Christians in this world. Lord, we thank you for the beauty of your creation, and we lament the sad state that, Lord, this human beings have made in this world of yours, Lord. We come to you, Lord, and pray that we may be lights in a dark place, shining ever brighter till the King appears. Amen. Lord, bless us and help us, Lord, to be the kind of people that we've been reading about, Lord, that all the filthy stuff may not be part and parcel of our lives, but, Lord, we may be people who show the loveliness and the beauty and the purity of your ways, Lord. For, Lord, you made things in order to function the right way. And, Lord, we ask your forgiveness where we fall down and come short. Have mercy on us and help us, Lord, to be people who find out what pleases you and then do it, Lord. Help us in Jesus' name. Amen.